The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe, you give me an amen.
Amen.
Just before we start, let me just explain the principle. I found out that the Bible, that the Lord likes incantations. And what's an incantation? It just, since you recite, thank you. Yeah, when you use the word incantation, they say, eh? It's incantation. The book of Psalms and most of your Bible, they are the books of the incantations of the Lord, all right? You know, we belong to a cult. There are different cults in this life. There are small, small ones like Ogboni, small, small ones like witchcraft. Small, those are the small cults. Those ones, they eat, which kind of sacrifice? Dead animals. Sometimes they are very wicked. They kill sinners and drink the blood of sinners. Are you getting my point? Yeah. But the real, if you want to enter a cult, you know, when you want to get high, don't smoke weed. If you want to get high, don't use cocaine. Use the highest thing possible. Holy Spirit. That way you get high. You understand my point? Maybe you'll just be smoking grass. If you really want to get high, you use the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, fill me to overflowing. People will come and say, oh boy, you drink. Say, the one where I drink, pass drink. You understand? That's it. In the same manner, when you want to join a cult, don't join cults that the day you want to die, you are afraid. Whether they are going to sort you into hellfire or sort you, you don't know. Join a cult that when you want to die, you discuss with the people who control death in the third heavens and say, administrate betwixt two. Whether to depart and be with Christ or to remain behind. But I think I will still remain behind. All right, I won't die now. That's a better cult. When the chairman of the cult is the Lord Jesus himself, not all these sinners are looking for money. Amen?
Amen?
The real cult is the cult of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible is a book of our cult. Amen?
Amen?
There, we don't drink the blood of sinners. We drink the blood of Christ. He said it himself, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Our own cult, that's what we get into. When we share communion, is we are reenacting the fact that spiritually, all the time, we are constantly feeding on the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ and on his blood, pure. The one that you drink, it drives problems out of your life. Not the one you see. Some people say, according to Gordon, you know, Gordon said that even witches, they go around now with HIV testing kits. Before they suck blood, they say, well, test that blood. Do you follow my point? No, you drink the blood that is the blood of Jesus Christ, the one that was shed for the redemption of mankind. Are you getting me? Yes. That is the kind of cult we belong to. And the cult also has its own incantations. It does. And that's where Christians often miss it. That's where they often miss it. There are times in which the incantation you have physically, it can't catch what you are trying to connect with. So you blow into another realm. And that's what we're talking about, praying in the spirit, speaking in other tongues. So these are cultic matters. When I say Ogboni, I say, this boy, you know Sabi cult. Let me teach you how to cultic, you know. Is that my English okay? How to cultate, yes. Teach you how to do cultic matter. There's no Ogboni man that, see, I'm not getting to my message, but there was a time I took time out and I read a lot about all these funny cults here and there. I read Abdul Rushin and Light of Truth. I got a book on Christian Science. I didn't finish before the owner collected it. I did some research on Buddhism, Hinduism. By the time I finished, I said, guys, people are suffering. I came to the conclusion, people are suffering. In fact, my research started when I was watching TV in Lagos, and they were interviewing the Ekanka man in Nigeria, the head of the Ekanka people in Nigeria. And he talked about the Mahanta, and that was an American. When I heard it, I said, wow, these people have small knowledge of small things. They are like Paul was talking about the Jews, a zeal after God, but not after knowledge. So I settled down, and I began to study. When I finished, I found out that if any man truly went into a cult to go and seek power, if any man who truly went into any religion to go and seek the knowledge of God, the Lord will say, come, don't waste your time. Let me show you the real power, the real knowledge. Let me show you where you find God. And he will always direct people to the knowledge of Christ. Listen, go and listen to my message, the Supremacy of Christ, on our website. Just about 30-minute message. That one I described the supremacy of Christ. When I finished that, the host chaplain that invited me, he said this one was Jim, Jim, Jim. Yeah, I just explained it because I was preaching to people who are generally 65 years and above, trying to explain why Christianity is superior to any other thing. 30 minutes when I was done, the host chaplain said, my God, this is truth. He said that people need to have confidence concerning what they believe. And that's what the Holy Spirit used me to do that day. Go and read it. When I finished doing all the study, I just said, forget. There's nobody. When I see people say, Ogbonima, you defear. He doesn't know anything. No, really. That is what this life is about. True spirituality, cult is in Christ. All these other ones are people who are trying and they don't understand. The beautiful thing about the thing of Christ, the cult of Christ, is that he has made all the payments. You don't sacrifice your son. You don't sacrifice anything. You don't sacrifice goat. You just give him your life. And then he has made all the sacrifices. Why did I go into that again? To remind us that actually there are things we say. And God, go and read the Old Testament, he always had words for the people to say. He said in that Deuteronomy chapter, let's just read that one. It's interesting for us to use that one just to learn something. I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 26. He said, then it shall be when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and live in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you bring in from your land. Just by the way. Wait, that is it. Just by the way. Is this the first fruit there? How do you do first fruit? You shall take some out of it. Why are you laughing? It's not in your Bible. Did I write that? Open your own Bible, look now. Sorry, is it not there? Did I invent this one? What did he say? Shall I take some off? Okay, let's do something so that it won't be like Pastor Banky has come with his problems. Let's start. What version do you have? King James. All right. Read King James. I want to start with King James. Off. That's old English. You shall take off. What's your version? Easy Standard Version. Thank you. Read it. What did it say? Verse 2. Thank you. He said, you shall take what? Some. What version is yours? King James. What's your? New Living Translation. He says what? He said, put some off. What did your own say? What does he say? That's my own anyway, so go ahead. Some of the first. What's your own version? Who has another version we have not read? NIV. What does it say? See, we have used some. Okay, who has a Samsung version? Toshiba version. Eh? What's your version? Living Bible. Let me have it. It says what? Living Bible, even worse is it for you guys. It says, shall be what? A sample. For those who think that I'm a troublemaker, I hope you have seen that. I don't invent these things. It's in the scriptures. People ask me, for what's first? I say, listen, let's not argue whether God commanded or not, but if you want to even find out, you've seen it. It's a sample. I like it. When I used to describe some things as fraud, you are seeing it now. The Bible says, that's just by the way, the Bible says you will take a sample. No, be me talk sample, now that guy. Now he bring Bible, we talk sample. That's New Living Bible, all right? The Bible says you shall take some off. He said that you shall take some off the first of all the produce of the ground, which you bring in from your land, that the Lord your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, now this is where I read it, that we use words. I use the word incantation to bring it in. We actually use words. As believers, we use words. The operation of the kingdom of God are words. When they came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray, we use that prayer of Jesus now as a pattern.
But when Jesus gave it to them, it was not a pattern. It was a prayer. They came to him and said, teach us to pray, just like John also taught his disciples to pray. He said to them, when you pray, say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. They were words those guys would use every time they gather to pray, at least to start. Then, of course, there's also a pattern in it. And what I found out is that each time in life, you should have words that you utter. Each season in life, there must be words that you utter. Each season in life, you just gotten married, there are words you frame. I framed words for my children. Learn it. Learn to create words periodically. For a season in your life, create words. You are stopping into school, create some words. Go and listen to Derek Prince's message, Aggressive Prayer. He will use two lines and change in the destiny of nations. Just two lines that the Holy Spirit gave him. Not every time you make Christians be pacing up and down. Look, there are times for that. Let me give you the one I gave for my children. I said, we declare as the children in the original family that we have a Father in heaven who is our maker. He gave mommy to daddy as wife so that together they will raise godly offspring for him. We declare that we are godly children and Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We are being raised in the knowledge of God. We are being raised in righteousness. We are increasing in stature, in wisdom, in favor with God and with man. When we grow up, we will not depart from the way of the Lord in the name of Jesus. That's stanza number one. Stanza two. It is well with me and my siblings. It is well with our home. The Lord supplies all our needs. He keeps us from all troubles. No evil shall befall us or any plague come near our dwelling. The Lord is with us in our going out and our coming in the name of Jesus. You do it in the morning, you do it at night. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, you have to have words you utter. Let's get back to reading that particular message, that portion. He said to them, you shall go to the priest who's in the office at that time and say to him, I declare this day to the Lord my God that I have entered the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. You shall answer and say before the Lord your God. When say you shall answer, I believe the priest will begin to recite and you'll be following him. You shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became great, mighty and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us, and imposed hard labor on us. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction and our toil and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with great terror and with signs and wonders. And he brought us to this place and has given us this land, now a land flowing with milk and honey. Now behold, I have brought the first of the produce of the ground, which you, O Lord, has given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord and worship before the Lord your God. Now, what I'm bringing out is this. You see that what God gave to them were words to utter when they bring their offerings. Not just go there and talk anything you like. They had to utter these words. Even when Moses, when Aaron and Co were being commanded in Numbers chapter 6 on how to bless the people of Israel. He says, say to Aaron and to his sons, thus you shall bless the children of Israel, you shall say to them, he gave them words, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. He said, when you do that, you will invoke my name upon the people of Israel and I will bless them. Look, go and listen to Derek Prince, Aggressive Prayer. The man says you use directed, specific, Holy Spirit-inspired words. The difference between Christianity and other things, people don't understand the life of this, that you just chant what Jesus called meaningless repetitions. For us, it's not meaningless. I just showed you one I wrote for my children now. It's not meaningless. They will memorize it in the morning. Right? There's one they know. If you start one of my children and say, how are you? They won't just answer you fine. They will tell you, it is well with me. As I'm growing up, I'm getting wiser. That's their answer. Victor comes to my room in the morning. Hey, Savik, how are you doing? Give him, how are you? It is well with me. As I'm growing up, I'm getting wiser. Just waking up. If they mistakenly say fine to you, repeat the question. I said, how are you? They will catch themselves. Because they hear fine all over the place. So occasionally they fall for fine. Yeah. How are you? Fine. You say, I said, how are you? Oh, it is well with me. As I'm growing up, I'm getting wiser. It's a recitation. They memorized it at least 2 years ago. It is well with me. As I'm growing up, I'm getting wiser. My wife first heard it with one of her friends, so she modified it for her children. And I was careful to let them know. I said, we have the Heavenly Father, who is our creator. You can't come and confuse my children that dinosaurs came out of a bubble. Poop! No. We have a Father in heaven. See, this one we are seeing is not the real Father. This is the Father on earth. We have a Father in heaven, who is our maker. And you recite all the time, they tell you that your grandfather is a baboon. He says a lie. According to David Paulson, one baboon was inside a cage and he was thinking, am I my keeper's brother? You can't make my children think that the baboon is their brother. Never. Why? Because oh, some of you are catching at different pieces. King said, am I my brother's keeper? The baboon said, am I my keeper's brother? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Oh, all of this because of the paper in our hands. But I'm sure we have been learning all this. You know this, I like coming here to preach because you see all kinds of things, you learn all kinds of things. It's true. Today, now, when you go home, you are going to write incantation. Yes. You must write your incantation for this my season. It's based on, jokes apart, you pray about it based on the understanding that you have and the revelation that the Holy Spirit will give you at that time. It must be based on scripture. You write it and always add in the name of Jesus. This is not power of positive thinking. No. It's grace. We are tapping into grace. And it has to be by faith. It's going to be in accordance with grace. It has to be what? By faith. Now, so, back to the thing. The paper in your hand is just a summary because I want us to... There's nothing there that is new. We've discussed over and over here. What I just want to just do is to help Christians understand this. You can come around that time, we'll modify the words again. All right? This is just to reflect the revelation of the hour and what God wants us to, all right, walk by at this particular time. What I have there, the first portion, which has about two separate stanzas, is one we normally recite all the time. I just standardized it so that every time, just hold this paper, don't throw it away. Put it inside your Bible and bring it again and again until the words are, you know, part of you. And then, like I said, by this night, just go to other sermons or tracts. Under that, it will be in both places. You'll be able to download it onto your device as a PDF file. All right? You just find it there. So you can just recite these things anytime. Now, the first one is the one I want us to use anytime I want to start hearing the word of God. Normally, I lead us and say I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. But this one is just there. All right? So that we'll just read it together. Let's take a practice of that now. Just look at that first one. We'll read it to the end before the one for prayers. Let's start it together. One, two, go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I am being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I am increasing in the knowledge of God. That stanza 2. Now again, I incline my ear to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Simple. 30 seconds before you start hearing the word. The word will enter. It will enter. It will enter. All right? The second one is one I said we'll use before we pray. One time I want to start praying, we'll declare these ones before we step into a prayer session, just to boost our faith and remove our confidence from ourselves. Let's just read it together again, all right? That's the one for at the start of prayers, we declare the righteousness of God. One, two, go. I enter into the presence of the Father as a renewed child of God. I have been made righteous by the power of the blood of Jesus, and I give him the praise for it. I haven't come in the power of the good works I have done. I have come only because of the grace and mercy which I have through Christ Jesus. I thank the Lord for loving me. I thank the Lord for washing me. I thank the Lord for making me worthy to come before Him. I come in the company of my brethren who are also washed, who are also clean. We are a company of children of God who are declared righteous by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Simple. That lets you know that God is not doing anything for you because of what you have done. It's not because I helped a poor man yesterday, God will help a poor me today. Are you getting my point? No, that's not why. It's not because I have won 5 souls for Him, He will now take care of my children. That's not why. I make my request before Him. It is not because of what I have in myself. It is because of what he has done for me in Christ Jesus. That is the basis of answers to prayers. And Christians must never. You have to fight that thing that makes you want to, you know. After you've done a lot of good works, you are feeling good. You are feeling airy. You are feeling good with yourself. Time to pray. And you expect God to hear. That is a dangerous time to pray. Because of that confidence. Don't try it. Some after they have finished, they have managed not to eat for 2 days, which does not improve the potency of prayer. We have found out from the word of God. All right? When they are feeling very hungry, say, God, that's what I wanted to ask you for. See this hunger just because of you. You answer me. I say, all right. I'm not going to answer. Don't eat. Let's see who will die. Whether it is you or it is me. God doesn't answer you because you are hungry. Are you getting my point? Oh, He does not. He only answers you because you pray according to His will in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Period. A man who has eaten and his stomach is full, who prays according to the will of God in the name of Jesus, gets an answer. The one that is hungry and says, God, you see, I'm being hungry for 3 days because of you. We get nothing. We have discussed Christian fasting before. We Christians, why do we fast? To have understanding, to turn aside to look. It's a time of concentration so that in the midst of the busyness of the activities around, we are able to hear the voice of God. Sometimes God finds it very hard to get our attention. That's why I had to set a bush on fire because Moses was so busy morning, afternoon, and night. God had to set a bush on fire so that he would turn aside from his activities to look. It was when he looked that God said, I finally got his attention. Many times in life, God wants to get our attention. I hope you are getting my point. I don't want to preach that message again. But the base upon which you get our answer to prayers is what we have listed here. And of course, the last one that is there is what we use to close our meetings all the time. We don't need to, we'll read that one at the end of the day. So please, this piece of paper, just keep it so that we don't have to print it all the time. Okay? When you come, just leave it inside your Bible until the thing is printed on your heart. And like I said, you can download it as a PDF file from our website. Okay, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, good. Well, I want to start sharing the word, so let's go to number one and start again. All right, quickly. Open it. You don't file and finish. Open it back, Apostle. All right. As we start to share the word of God, let's just declare which word can we use for it now? Okay, let's go through our incantation as we step into our cultic activity for today. As we enter into our meeting of the inner caucus to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, let's declare the word of God. One, two, go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him, and I am being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know, if you read this and you go home, you are blessed already. Are you getting my point? The Lord is good. All right, let's continue looking at how we pray, especially when the storm is thick, when the wind is blowing and our boat is being tossed up and down. Let's continue to read the story from the book of Matthew chapter 14, the story of Peter, the encounter of walking on water between the Lord and Peter himself. Let's just quickly get down to where the main meat starts from verse 24. The Bible says that the boat was already a great distance from the land, being battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, that's verse 31, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" That's where we're going to stop reading. Now, we've been reading this for some time to talk about how to, you know, pray for a new season, how to bless a new season that you are stepping into. What has been strong on my mind is that God wants to do things in our lives, and God is able to do things, but we're also able to hinder him or to help him or allow him do what he wants to do. If we don't cooperate with him, what he wants to do will not be done. How do we cooperate with him? It is by faith. It is faith and faithfulness. That is the way by which we cooperate with the Lord so he can do what he wants to do. The fact that you sank does not mean, or the fact that you are sinking does not mean you are not in the center of the plan of God. Let me use the word plan for now. I'm using the word will of God with a lot of care, all right? Okay? It doesn't mean that God didn't command you to do what you are doing. When Peter came out of the boat, we know that it was in response to a word that came from the mouth of the Lord himself, and that word said, "Come." And he stepped out in the midst of the difficulty into the waters, and then he was floating. He was able to walk on the waters. And then the time came, he began to take his eyes, or he took his eyes away from the Lord Jesus. And why he did that, I really don't know. I'm not very sure. I'm just speculating. Maybe he became curious as to why he's floating. Are you getting my point? He wanted to see the method by which God was ensuring that he floated. He looked at his shoes and saw whether the Lord had inflated it with air and is floating above the water. He looked at, did the water under me turn to ice? What is going on? Or am I imagining things? As he began to reason all of these things, doubt crept into his heart and he began to sink. Now, Jesus said to him, "Come," yet he sank. When men want to pass comment a lot of times, what they remember is that he obeyed Jesus and he sank. That's all. So what is their deduction? The scientific deduction is that obedience to Jesus causes people to drown. Therefore, don't obey. Do you understand my point? They don't realize that after you have obeyed Jesus, obedience to him is no guarantee that you will not sink. What guarantees you will not sink is that you not only obey, you continue to hold on to your obedience with faith. That is, you don't take your eyes away from the Lord Jesus. You don't get curious as to what is going on under your feet. You don't turn to the left or to the right to check how the wind is behaving. You focus your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that way you will float. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, let me just say something to you quickly. Right now, you see what's going on in the country? All right? It's not only in the country, it's all over the world, okay? And a friend of mine told me last year, a preacher came to their church in Enugu here and told everybody, is it last year or the year before, to their church in Enugu here and told everybody that this was going to happen. He told them that there's an economic crisis coming, and he described everything. I told him to get me the tape. He didn't. He ended up not getting it for me. So the man came and told, he preached in the church over a year ago, that this was going to happen in the country, and it's going to happen all over the world, and there's going to be another economic crisis about to come. And the man said all of these things. Now, like I say all the time, God is good. Amen? Amen. He knew there was watery crisis coming when he spoke to Noah. God knew water was coming, and he spoke to Noah. And he said, "Noah, if you want to float, you go and build an ark." What I'm trying to say here is this, and this is what I believe is the Spirit of God is saying to us at this time. It is possible to float above the economic problems. It is possible to float above the troubles in the environment. How do you float? He says simply, it is by what? Faith. That's what the Lord Jesus was saying. When you are in the midst of a storm, when you are walking on water, What does it mean to walk on water? You are standing in a place where people normally should not stand. That's it. Everybody's running from Maiduguri and you say you're not going anywhere. That's for walking on water. Do you get my point? There's an economic crisis here and there. You say I'm not running from Egypt. I'm not leaving promised land. I'm going over to Egypt. It's called walking on water. Like somebody said that that Isaac went to process his visa in Gera. The Egyptian visa was what he went to process in Gera. When the Lord said, don't go, stay here. So in that land, there was crisis around, but Isaac floated. Not only did he float, he prospered. Are you getting my point? And I want to say to us again, that is the plan of God for every one of his children. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
Not only will you float, not only will you survive, you will prosper in the midst of adversity.
Amen.
Say that amen like you believe it.
Amen.
That is what he's saying. But then what is the problem? The Lord wanted to do that for Peter, and then Peter took his eyes away from the Lord, and he began to sink. This is our school of prayer. I'm not talking in faith in details. Now, we've been teaching on total faith on Saturdays. If you have not been around, please get the CDs. I have been enjoying the messages myself, and I'm the preacher. Are you getting me? Please get the CDs. Total faith. That is the basis upon which we triumph in life as believers. Now, as our school of prayer, I just want to continue from how do we pray at such times? What kind of words do we use? What do we declare? All right? Because what we say is a major manifestation of our faith. When we talk, it's our faith talking. Let me say something to you quickly. You have to understand God's word until it becomes the talk in every part of your gist. What I mean by every part of your gist? Most Christians know how to talk in church. We didn't see you yesterday. You didn't come to Bible study. What happened? I was strong. I don't know what's wrong with Christian. Just I was strong. I was strong is not a word to say. It's not a lingo for I was sick. It's called Christianese. How are you? Ah, it is well. I've not eaten for 6 days. It is well. You understand? Now, a lot of us know how to speak that language. But then when we now get to where the brethren are not there, I beg. But boy, let's be real. That is everything that we were doing before was fake. Now let's get real. Listen, if you still have a difference in your life between what is real and what is casual talk to you, your faith is very small. You have to work on it. What you say, you know, I told you that my wife and I had an issue in the house, not a big deal. She made a statement. I said, oh, girl, stop that. That's not a statement of faith. He said, look, you are too serious. I said, you don't know what is serious. I'm the prophet in this house. I tell you what is serious and what is not serious. So that one is serious. One day, now, you are going to laugh when I tell you this. Laugh anyway, but I need to preach my message. I have the way of sneaking into the bathroom when my wife is having a bath. I'm pitching a bomb from behind. To my wife, what problem do you have with that? Bishop's covering his face. She won't know I'm coming. Israel, I mean, come on, what is the big deal now? The Lord is good. I've been doing this for 10 years or more, and my wife will still react. So, she never hears me coming. You just feel the pinch. So the last time, one day, recently, she was having a bath. I've not stopped too. And I will not stop. Why should I stop? The Lord is good. I've been doing this for more than that is, I mean, amen? Without things like that, you can't preach a good gospel. So one day she was so upset. Believe me, I've said you should stop this thing. And I said, one day you're going to make me fall and I'm going to injure myself. I said, no, in the name of Jesus, you will not fall, you will not injure yourself. Trust me, the joke stopped there. Listen, I may be plain, but watch your tongue. And she said, you know what I mean? I don't know what you mean. Now, say after me. Yeah, it's true. I said, there are other ways to say it. You could say, don't make me fall. When you do that, I get startled. I don't want to fall. Are you getting my point? Don't prophesy. One day, and you think that's going to make me stop? I ain't going to stop. Some of the fringe benefits of being a man of God. We say, the power of my man of God, stop all of this. I say, why should I stop it? I don't do it in the office. I don't do it outside. This is the place where I have the right. And nobody will deprive me of my privileges. The Lord is good. So I told my wife, I said, listen, don't tell me that one day you are going to make me fall. No. I will not make you fall. You will not enjoy yourself. I mean, that's it. That's what faith is. So. Every little thing we say. Look, work on your faith or your words until it gets to that point. I will not say joke. That's why I told you. I don't play a prayerful. Because the Bible says only a madman does it. It's not in your Bible.
Yes.
Say, like a madman casting arrows and firebrands, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? This is our time. Please, let me recommend it for you again. Go and listen to the message, Habitation of God. God wants to dwell in us so that if we open our mouth, he's the one talking. That's what he wants. Please go and get the message, Habitation of God. Now, please, back to what I'm saying. So you see, when things come up, how we talk is the first reflection of our faith. Not the talk we talk in church when we know brethren are listening. What I mean, the talk we talk because we are convinced about it. I was discussing with Bishop, was it yesterday? We had to make some decisions concerning some expenditure. I called him and said, wait, did you make that decision because we felt it was expensive or because it was the right thing to do? Do you know we had a meeting in the evening to clarify that? Yes, I said, because it must not go on record that I began to make decisions because I felt God was not able. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I said, no, I won't make that decision. Let's settle down now. Was that the right decision for that moment? Or it was because we feared the cost? When we started talking, we said, first, of course, we're not saying Christians should be wasteful. So cost is definitely an issue. We're not saying we should be... God gave us money as a measure of many things. But just you have to know how to use it. You don't use... If you want to check how tall I am, you don't bring a bathroom scale. Do you check that? I say, okay, let me check how tall Pastor Banky is. And I'll give you a bathroom scale. I stand on... That's not going to tell you my height. What I'm going to say is that money is a measure. We just have to know how to use it and where to use it. I'm not discussing that now. But they say it's important that we don't make decisions because we fear things more than we fear God. So I said to him, we agree that, listen, yes, money is an issue, but then how is it an issue? Let's look at the thing that's important. By the time we finish, you say, well, considering everything, it is not necessary to spend that extra money. Okay, let's save it. Fine. What's my reason? Because my faith must talk. Are you getting my point? Because how I respond to situations is affecting whether I will float or I will sink. That's the last time we began to declare concerning the source of supplies. God will supply my need. We did that last time. If you're not around, please make sure you get the CD for last Tuesday's message. We'll declare some things towards the end. Now today, that's where we are still going. These declarations. This declaration of the word of God. How do we respond when things occur? That's what I'm saying. It's our faith talking. If we respond properly all the time from a heart that is convinced, we will float. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. If we utter the right words all the time from a heart that is convinced, we will float. We will not sink. Not only will we survive, we will be fruitful. We will multiply in the midst of adversity. In that Genesis chapter 26, Isaac sowed in that land. All right? In the same year, he reaped 100-fold, and there was famine all around. Please listen to me. You can sow in that land and the same year reap 100-fold, even though there's famine all around. I say it all the time, even though it's been prophesied that this economic downturn is coming and all of that, God never expects to take everybody. All right? Noah will still survive the flood. Noah will still survive the flood. And I'm saying to us here now, how do we Christians survive this flood? It is by faith. How will Peter walk on this water? It is by maintaining his faith. Let me just quickly say something to you. Every day you will hear news. And that's a window. You will hear news of things going wrong. You will hear news of difficulty. When you hear it, how do you respond? That's what I'm going to emphasize. Now, there's something we preached some time ago. That's what I want to use for our declaration for today. Let me just remind us, because those of us who have been studying the word here for some time, we have learned this thing. So just for us, it's admonition. If you're hearing it for the first time, it's a teaching, okay? Now, when the Lord gave the core commandments to Moses, he said, there were 10 of them. And you know, we know all of them. That's in Exodus chapter 20, right? Let's just flip there so that it will be like we are reading. Exodus chapter 20. He said to them, these are the core commandments, the 10 commandments. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. That's verse 2. Out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That's verse 1. Number 2, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in the heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. Now notice that. Verse 5, you shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Jump down to verse 7. This is the third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Now, please, let me explain this again. This is the law of the third commandment. Let me say something to us quickly about the commandments of God. There is a spirit behind every commandment. What I just want to bring out is that whether we are directly under the commandments of Moses or not, there is a spirit, because it's the same Father that gave the laws, and there is a spirit in it. And that spirit is what I want to bring out from that third commandment again. I've taught it here before. There is a spirit behind every commandment. One day I was watching a Christian TV channel, and a man was teaching from the Ten Commandments. I had never been blessed with those commandments like that before. The man explained, when he said, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods." Of course, the Bible was not saying we Christians should not start coveting. No, he wasn't saying that. But the man said, this is how it applies to Christians. He was talking about the blessing of God. That I will bless you so much if you walk with me, all right, that you will not need what somebody else has. Are you getting my point? That you will not need to covet your neighbor's goods. And like the Bible says, which is more important, I will write my laws on your heart. Because of the Spirit of Christ working in you, you love your brother so much, you don't want to deprive him of what he has. Okay, bear that in mind. Now, what I want to emphasize, however, is that third commandment again. This is how most of us interpret it. I have studied up and down and meditated. And this is my conviction. Now, first of all, before my conviction, this is how most people interpret it. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So people say that you don't use God's word, God's name as a swear word. When you say Jesus, people say don't use the name of God like that. You know, when you're, you know, people use God's name flippantly, just use it on the side. By the way, there's a way I swear, in quotes, swear. You know what I mean? Swear words. My typical swear word is, if somebody, I say, Jesus is Lord. Now, I did that deliberately. I think it's I continually declare the lordship of Jesus. If a car has an accident and I'm watching, someone will say, "Hey, Osanobua." I don't say Osanobua. I said, "Jesus is Lord." Start watching out. That's, and it's a deliberate habit I formed, though. I just said, no. Instead of using bad words, use a constant declaration. So that my own way of exclaiming now is that, "Jesus is Lord. Hey, Jesus is Lord. Oh, Jesus is Lord. What did happen? Jesus is Lord. Ah, Jesus is Lord. Oh, Egbeleo, Jesus is Lord." I think it's good. Oh, you don't think so? You know what these Muslims used to harass everybody? Every 5 a.m., they declare who is God. If I, like one brother said, we should wake up by 4:30 and captivate the air first. Just shout. In fact, like David Paulson said, everybody should shout, there is no God but Abba. And Jesus Christ is his true son. You know, Muslims say that there's no God but, say there's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. If you point, say no, there is no God but Abba. Abba Father. That's what he said. And Jesus is his true son. If you wake up at 4:30, try it. Walk around, we move further into the Dara desert. The Lord is good. Now, just by the way, back to my message. So people say that a lot of times that don't you take the name of God in vain. So when people use it as exclamation, people say it is bad. So people who don't believe in God will say, oh my God, you know stuff like that. And they don't believe, oh Jesus. And it's not said that that is taking the name of the Lord in vain. I'm not saying it's good. In fact, you shouldn't do that. I prefer the one I invented for myself. I declare the Lordship of Jesus when I need to exclaim, okay? But that's not what the scripture was saying. I read from the Young Literal Translation of the Holy Bible. And Young said something, which is what, and that's how I came to that conclusion. And then I read it in order. What did Young say? He said that this is the literal Hebrew for that verse 7, which is the third commandment. Young said that, this is how he renders it, verse 7. Thou dost not take up the name of Jehovah thy God for a vain thing. That thing, that vanity, I don't believe is applying to the name of the Lord. It was applying to the thing. What am I saying? You read through the scriptures, the Bible always described idols as a vain thing. I don't know whether I get my point. I didn't bother to say the scriptures. I didn't know I was going to use it. Idols are describing the scriptures as vain things. So what was he saying here? There are three commandments. The first commandment goes like this. You shall have no other God before me. I'm your only God. Number two, he says to them, you will not sit down and carve an image and say this is the image of the only God you have. Now, the three commandments are connected. Please follow me. The first one is that your God is like the modern way they write the name Jehovah as Yahweh. All right? So, the Lord, okay, that's a simple English word, is your God. This God of Abraham. They said yes. So, there must be no Molech. There must not be Obatala. There must not be Allah. There must not be any other God apart from him. So everybody said, fine. Then what is commandment number two? This God, who is the only God, don't carve him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't make an image and claim that this is God in heaven. And don't make an image of any other thing on the earth. It's an extension of the first commandment. Don't make an image of anything from below the earth. So that, don't even use the excuse that it is the God of heaven I'm worshipping. It's just that this is his image. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we now see an image and say that is Jehovah. This is Yahweh. This is the Lord, the God of Abraham, writing on an image. God said, don't ever do that. In fact, he told them, later on Moses was speaking, Moses said, don't forget. When he spoke to you in Mount Sinai, you did not see a form, you only heard a voice. That's commandment number two. Don't make an image. The third commandment now is that, first, God is the only God. Two, don't make an image of him, don't attempt it. And three, you are going to encounter images. Are you getting my point? When you come into that land, you will find a God they were worshipping before. They will have a beautiful temple to that God. Don't go there and remove their name and put the name of your God on it. That's why I say you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God and place it on a vain thing. That was the third commandment. It was not those who were. No. It is when you, and you see modern day Christians, they did that a lot. They didn't get the spirit of this commandment. It's done everywhere. For example, The church tried to Christianize Europe. So they took all the pagan idols and placed the name of God on them. December 25th became the best of Jesus. That was never the best of Jesus. In fact, David Paulson says it is ungodly to celebrate it. That God hates it, the idea. That Christmas nauseates him. We took Easter, the festival to one goddess or God, and took away their names and say it is the resurrection of Jesus. We took the name of our Lord and placed it on a vain festival. Broke the third commandment, the spirit of the third commandment. We do all kinds of things in Christianity. What God was saying is that when you get to that land, you will find idols. Don't remove their name. Let me put it like this. Don't sanctify their idols. You can't sanctify the idols. When you find the idols, break them. Break their altars. Break their temples. Remove the memory of them. Don't let them survive. Because the way by which they survive is we change their names. Do you know Christians who take business principles of the world, bring it to church, sanctify it? We do it all the time. We do it all the time. Have you heard this joke before? To make you laugh, it's a joke. There was one man, a Catholic, those early days. Good Friday, but were they hungry? The only thing he had to eat was meat. And since being a Catholic, he was not supposed to eat meat, so he did a maneuver. So when the Reverend Father came, he said, Brother Paul, how can you, a Catholic, be eating meat on Good Friday? So Brother Paul said, this is not meat. What is it? He said, it is fish. He said, you've added another one to it. You are not telling lies. He said, Reverend Father, this is not meat. This is fish. He said, before you came here, my name was Uchenna. You poured water on me and said, I'm now Paul. I have poured water on this one. It is no longer meat. I call the fish. Are you getting my point? Now, many times, that's what we Christians do. We take something from the world, bring it to church, adapt it, give it a Christian name, and we'll start propagating it as if it's Christian doctrine. That is breaking the spirit of the third commandment. There's another way we do it, subtly, for us Christians. You saw that thing I told you that I wrote for my children? I said, the first line is that we have a Father in heaven. The reason why I emphasize is that I am an earthly father to them, but they must recognize that I am not the real father. The real father is in heaven. They must recognize that I am not the supplier, I am the messenger. I am not the provider, I am the messenger. They must not take the name of the Father in heaven and place it on the Father on the earth. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I am a messenger. So if I bring food in, I bring money in, I am not a provider. He is the provider. I am his messenger. They must learn that. They must not take the name of the Lord, their God, the Father in heaven, and place it on a human being. That was why Jesus said, don't call anybody Father. That's what he was trying to explain. Don't look at anything as a source for your life. You're working somewhere. They are paying you regularly. They are paying you heavily. Whatever it is. Look at the place as an instrument, not the source. The economy is not the source. When we are so fixated, that's why I tell Christians, before you run up and down and say, I'm leaving Nigeria, I'm going to this place, anywhere, ask yourself, why? Am I seeing, listen, these are the reasons why a Christian moves. One, let me just put a few reasons. One, am I going to a place because I believe that that is God's assignment for my life. Do you get my point? Or in part, or as part of that, a place where I'm supposed to be trained so that I will execute my assignment for my life. That is one. Another one is, where am I going to be a blessing to people? Am I improving my ability to bless people, or am I increasing my ability to enjoy myself? Demas has departed from me. Remember, having fallen in love with this present age, we must be careful as Christians that we don't behave like Demas. Another thing we check before we go anywhere is, now that's one that a lot of people will now start saying that the Lord, my spirit said, not my spirit now. There must be evidence that the Lord communicated a special direction to me, if it's applicable there, and this must be tested by spiritual seniors. Yes. As people all their life, they wanted to go to maybe UK or America. So their spirit starts saying to them, your spirit will say to you what you want to do. Now, what I'm going to say, it must never be that a Christian says, I will prosper better there. The economy is better suited for prosperity. For us, prosperity comes from what? Above. It comes from God. This is a matter of faith. This is how we reason. We must never put the name of the Lord our God on a vain thing. You don't put his name on your job. You don't put his name on your certificate. You don't put his name on your connection. You don't put his name on the economy of the nation or any nation of the earth. You must never. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that these are the idols of the people. They have eyes they don't see. They have ears they don't hear. He said they have feet, they can't walk. All of that. He now said this. Those who worship them become like them. If you place your faith in a human system, the day it collapses, you must collapse with it. God will not even deliver you. It will be wrong of him. If you put your faith in a human system, the day it collapses, you collapse with it. That's why as a Christian, you must be very, very careful. Don't put your faith in any human system. You're breaking the third commandment of God. When you look at a human being or a human system as a source, like I said earlier, God uses people. The job you have right now is what? A messenger. It's a messenger. You get to work one day and you've been fired. How do you respond? My life has come to an end. That's a lot of people, that's how they respond. Especially when they have very good paying jobs. They're like, I thought from here my children will go to this school that they want to die. A Christian just looks and says, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You don't cry over a job you lost. It's forbidden for a believer. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Faith, people say that God does not take. That's not true faith. True faith understands that sometimes he takes. And it's in the Bible. He takes away the first to establish the second. So if a first gets taken away, I relax. Because I know that one is not God. That's why it can move. It's only the word of God that does not shake. Are you getting my point? It's God's word that does not shake. But material things, they move. So if we lose a job today, that one has gone. The God that was using that job has not gone. He remains the supplier. We must never take the name of the Lord and place it on a vain thing. A job is a vain thing. A certificate is a vain thing. Connection is a vain thing. The economy of nations, vain things. Human structure, vain things. Investment in the stock market, vain thing. Savings in a bank account, vain thing. Forex you bought and hid in a wardrobe, vain thing. The one you bought and hid inside a pot, inside the yard at the back, vain thing. Once it's on, if you like, invest in gold, vain thing. Everything you see on the earth, vain things. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, sir. And he said, you must never take the name of the Lord your God and place it what? On what? A vain thing. That's the message for today. So how do we respond in the time of adversity? It is simple. We magnify the Lord. We remind the economy of who is God. We remind our pocket of who God is. That who is God, not who God is. Now, we remind our pocket, Naira is not God. The price of dollar is not God. God is God. God, the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, is God. My Father God, He is God. What is God? And I say what, and I didn't say who. What? What? What is God? God is the person who supplies your need. If you go to a hospital and say, I want to see a doctor, you expect him to check what is wrong and decide what is wrong and prescribe an appropriate treatment. When you use the title God also, it means who determines my future, who supplies my need, who makes me productive, who brings forth good out of my life, who brings forth good into my life. That is the person that is called God. It is not an economy. I hope you are getting my point. And how do we respond? Like Peter, back to Peter matter now. Instead of looking at the wind, am I going to fall? I will not fall. Will I sink or not sink? No, I declare to the wind that you do not have the power to kill and to make alive. That's how you respond to the wind. That wind, you don't have the power to kill or to make alive. Listen, let me just say this again. That's our response as believers is crucial. I say it again and again. When Job went through all his calamity, what was the issue? What will he say? That's it. What will Job say? Will he say, I know that this country was a bad idea? Job said, listen, I know my Redeemer liveth. That if you go and see, Job's whole issue is that it's between me and God. Though, whatever he said I should do, when he's tired of getting angry, he will recover from the anger. He did not cross his mind that, you know, these Sabians are wicked people. Go and read it. The Sabians, they killed his servant and took his goods. He did not open his mouth and say, the Sabians are bad people. They were raiders that took his things. He was not angry with them. Natural disaster, he didn't say it's global warming. You know, modern day now, human beings now think that they are God. When everywhere is too hot, they say it's global warming. Why is it warm? Why is the warm globe or the globe warming? Which one? They say it's because it is because you are driving cars and using firewood and burning fossil fuels. And if you say it's not true, they say you are a naysayer. They give you a name so that people won't listen to you. What they are saying is that man is God. If man burns too much fossil fuel, globe will warm. If they don't burn much, the globe will cool down. And when you hear the talk, this is talk of humanism. We are God. You can't be a Christian and believe that talk. You are putting the name of the Lord on a vain thing. I don't want to go into that talk now. There's enough evidence to show that all of these are lies. The first day I heard it, incidentally, that one of the ones I heard was this guy Frederick Plankton or something. What's that guy's name? Frederick Plankton, yes, on CNN. He pointed out that when Eric the Red first arrived in Greenland, it was called Greenland. Why? It was green. Right now, it's not green anymore. It's covered with what? Snow. That tells you that when Eric the Red first settled in Greenland over 200 years ago, the place was warm, but now it is cold. And they have evidence of the kind of fruits that used to grow in Europe that don't grow there anymore because it's now cold. It used to be warm. But they won't discuss this evidence. No, go and investigate. It's there. A NASA scientist wrote a book on it that the world was not always this cold. There was a time it was much warmer and we're not there driving motor cars. What human beings have done is to take the name of the Lord and place it on vain humans. Job never blamed anybody. Job said, it is between me and my God. So when there's calamity, look to the eyes of God look up to the hands of God. Don't blame the former president. Don't blame anybody. If God said, at this season, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, everything will be shaken. We do not place the name of the Lord our God on a vain thing. What do we do in every situation in our life? We declare God's name. That's what I'm trying to say. We magnify the Lord. Life is always saying, talk. Then what do? We say, this is what I'm going to say. I know my Redeemer liveth. We magnify the Lord. David said, magnify the Lord with me. Let us praise his name together. Let's rise to our feet. We're watching our time. Have your piece of paper again. I want us to declare, before we start praying again, I always like us to declare the word of God concerning our right to pray. As we begin to declare, let's first of all declare the righteousness of God. One, two, okay, wait, everybody bring out your paper. All right, as we start our prayer, let's declare the righteousness of God. One, two, go. I enter into the presence of the Father as a renewed child of God. I have been made righteous by the power of the blood of Jesus, and I give him the praise for it. I haven't come in the power of the good works I have done. I have come only because of the grace and mercy which I have through Christ Jesus. I thank the Lord for loving me. I thank the Lord for washing me. I thank the Lord for making me worthy to stand before him. I have come in the company of my brethren who are also washed, who are also clean. We are a company of children of God who are declared righteous by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, let's just magnify God briefly, all right? And what you just do, just repeat what I'm saying. Now, let's declare who is the source of life. Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father is our source of life. Material things is not where our life comes from. When we talk about life, we mean the vitality inside us. Why do we breathe? It's not because you jog around Okwara Square. You can jog and jog and collapse and die around Okwara Square. I hope you know that. Yes, I mean, football players have died on the football pitch. We have a statue in Lagos, Samuel Okwaraji. He was playing football, I think, 1987, or is it 86? I think it was 86, 87. Yes, and in Lagos there, and he collapsed, and he died. Patrice Muamba collapsed while playing. Thank God he did not die. All right, so if you can't be fitter by jogging by those men run for a living. You get what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. So it is not our exercise. Material things is not what keeps us alive. Let's declare where our source of life is, who our source of life is. All right? Let's declare the word. Say, Lord, you are the source of my life.
Lord, you are the source of my life.
You are my life.
You are my life.
You are the reason why I breathe.
You are the
breath that I breathe.
You are my everything.
Now listen to the word of God. Jesus said like this, abide in me. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That is the foundation for what we are declaring. Is what God has said is based upon that we declare what we are all declaring. Therefore, let's declare. Say, I declare, that apart from you, Lord,
I am nothing.
I can achieve nothing.
I cannot do anything.
Outside of you,
I am nothing.
Because you are the source of my life. Very important. Listen to this again. Let's declare this. Who is our provider? Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Now, this is important. It's not your job. It's not your connection. I said, I'm teaching my children to know that food does not come from daddy, doesn't come from mommy. Food comes from who? The Heavenly Father. That's why I want to teach them to recite it. I have a Father in heaven. Not this daddy I can see. The one that is in heaven. Let's never forget it. So if you have a crisis, you lack money, sometimes that is because my uncle is not helping. What you have done is to take the name of the Lord and place it on an uncle. These are my friends. They forgot me. You took the name of the Lord and placed it on your friends. I hope you're getting my point. My relatives, I don't know. You know where I come from? The people are very wicked. You took the name of the Lord and placed it on the people that are your relatives. They are not the reason why you don't have something. God will raise help from afar. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know the reason why Joseph was not remembered for 2 years? Because God said the time to remember him has not yet come. Until you forgive people, you are not going to prosper. Until you stop thinking, say, don't worry, one day I will prosper and show that man. Poverty, that is. Poverty will be following you up and down. You're not prospering in life to show anybody. You're prospering in life, listen, to do the will of God, to enjoy doing the will of God, and to help somebody else do the will of God. My prosperity is not to make any statement to any human being. Say, Shiva, I told you that I'm toying. That toying is unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Some people, when they have money, they go and help somebody to show they can help them. Say, how much do you need? Just to show that, you see, you thought I wouldn't prosper. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Somebody is not helping you today. It's not because, that's not the reason why you are not achieving what you are supposed to achieve. It is because God has not yet said it is time. When God says it is time, nobody can stop that. Once God, you and God, you look at each other and say, Father, what did you say? The Lord said it is time. And you go out and say, yes, it's my time. Forget it. Nobody can stop it. They will change governments for your sake.
Amen.
There are policies I believe were changed because of me. But the one who can give as a testimony all the time is the one that's out there. Tunde Bakare's story. God said it is time. You know how God did that? He had him fired from his job. This was after his pastor, then Pastor E. Adeboye, prayed for him that God will help him prosper. He said, sir, pray for me. The man prayed for him. That week, they fired him from his work. He came back and said, sir, I said you should pray that I should prosper, not like this. And the man of God started laughing. And he said, what is funny? He said, the kind of blessing you ask God for, nobody pays such as salaries. So he said, okay, go and start your own business. The man is a lawyer. And he said, sir, you have forgotten that if I'm in Nigeria as a professional, the years of experience I have, I'm not allowed to stand on my own. And Pastor Yadibu told him that we have nothing else to say. The man went home. One of those days, he tuned the TV. And he heard that the military government that time just wiped out that decree that said people like him couldn't stand on their own. After that, every professional, you're allowed to stand on your own. He went and started his own business. And the first brief he got paid him 2 years' salary at a go. I found out, listening to him last week, that in the 80s, one day God paid ₦1 million. In the 80s. When God says it's your time, you know what that means? It's your time. Nobody can stop it. Who is the provider? Everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
A good economy is not my provider.
A good economy is not my provider.
The Lord is my provider.
A good job is not my provider.
The Lord is my provider.
The Lord is my,
my Heavenly Father is my provider.
My provider.
Say, treasures laid up in the bank is not a provider. Say,
my Father alone is the provider.
Say, my Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
He is the bread that came down from heaven.
And I feast on that bread.
And I am satisfied. Say, my Father is my provider.
My
Heavenly Father is my provider.
Not my job.
He provides for the birds of the air.
And he dresses up the flowers of the field.
Say it again. He is the provider. Say,
I will not take his name
and place it on a vain thing.
I say before the heavens,
my job is not the provider.
The economy of Nigeria is not my provider.
The economy of America is not my provider.
My friend abroad is not the provider.
My earthly father is not the provider.
My heavenly father is my provider.
I will not place the name of my God on a vain thing. Say to the Lord, I will not displease you to get promotion.
I will not displease you to get promotion.
Say to the Lord, Lord,
Lord,
I will not displease you to keep a job.
I will not displease you to keep a job.
Say, Lord,
Lord,
I will not lie
to get a job.
To get a job. Let me tell you something. That's how people bow to other gods. You want to fill visa interview. Suddenly, you start telling lies. I'm married. When you are not married. One of my brothers and I, he lives in the U.S., we were talking the other day. He said, can you remember so-and-so brother? I said, yes. He said, he went to South America and disappeared. I said, so. And I said, what about the other brother? He said, I wonder where he is now. I said, that guy, I remember him when, and I mentioned the name he was bearing that time. You can imagine that, okay, Muti Udu. I said, you can't say, okay, I'm traveling abroad. Where's your passport? I see inside it. Dan Ladi Baku. And I said, that brother has disappeared. Because people take the name of the Lord and place on another thing. Next time we'll continue. I'm just watching our time. Because what we need to do is to declare and magnify the Lord. If you look at your body, say to the sickness, God is a healer. So nobody can say to you, this one is not curable. Are you getting my point? You say whatever the situation around you, magnify God in that situation. Don't talk about your situation to God all the time. Talk about God to your situation. I mean, God has heard enough of it. It's the other thing that needs to hear. Some people, they believe that God, they say God, doctors are next to God. Have you heard that thing before? I hope you know it's a lie. Doctors are just human beings. I'm a teacher of doctors, man. Fear those guys, man. Some of these medicals, when they graduate, I'll just look. Somebody will lie down, you hold knife over the person. Now, wow. Well, you ask them two questions. They don't even know what you're talking about. One of my doctors the other day passed exam, now a big guy, senior registrar. I fired him 3 questions. He was talking to us. I said, I will withdraw your pass. Yeah, they will sign papers and people will be feeling that, yeah, doctor has spoke. Doctors are not next to God, though. They are just another set of human beings. When you have problems, magnify the Lord. Take a day and talk to your issues about God. Say, you are not my God. Doctor is not my God. If you like to pay me from now to tomorrow, I won't cry because of you. After a while, the spirit will say, this girl is wicked. I'm going to afflict another kinder person. First will be massaging the pain. Say, yes, it's been paining me for 2 days. I've not gone to work. I'm still unconscious. You've heard that joke before? The fellow who sent the text to the ogre at work. He says, sorry, my ogre, I can't come to work. I had an Okada accident. I'm still unconscious. Text message to the boss. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I think we'll continue from that particular point. All right? It's very important. I want us to magnify God. I want us to magnify Him. But especially in the face of economic shaking, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day, magnify the Lord before you go out. When you get to your office, remember, write your chant. Write your incantation. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
Write it. Write your declarations. Write something that every day in your office, everybody who comes in there, they want to pray. Write your declarations. Declare it over the office. Write your declarations for your family. Write for yourself. Update it periodically. You don't start speaking in tongues when there's no need to speak. I hope you're getting my point. When there is something to say, say it. Christians, a lot of this Holy Ghost speaking in tongue thing, a lot of people have serious abuse, not abuse of all kinds of things, abuse of blood of Jesus day. You know that one? Yes. All my enemies, the blood of Jesus. That is nonsense. What did I call it? Around rubbish. How can I just be pouring the blood of Jesus on enemies? Is it good? Blood of Jesus is for yourself, your heart, your conscience, to purge you, to clean you. Holy Ghost fire on your head. Say amen.
Amen.
You know the word of God. How can you go and be shouting Holy Ghost fire on your enemies? You will be anointed. You will have nothing. Tomorrow in a jam for business. Now the guy who wins the contract, you are wondering. You were the one that sent Holy Ghost fire upon my enemies. The guy comes to the fire of the Holy Spirit. Better collect your father's Holy Spirit back. Go home, tell your parents, say, Daddy, Mommy, we need to recover something. Say what? Our fire of Holy Spirit that will send it to our enemies. The same manner, people speak tongues that are not necessary sometimes. There are times you need to speak words that you understand. Take the word of God and declare, this is what God is doing in my life. hope you got my point.
Yes,
the Lord is good.
Lord.
Let's magnify God again. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
My Father,
is my everything.
He's my supplier.
He's my healer.
He's my protector.
He's my
defense.
He's my keeper.
He's my life. Father, we give you thanks. Just give him thanks in your own words. Give him thanks in your own words. Give him thanks in your own words. Magnify the name of the Lord. Say, thank you. You are the forgiver of my sins. You are my righteousness. Because of you, I have been made righteous. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
All right, please, let's share the grace for those of